May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Last week, one of our Bethlehem kiddos was talking about how he'd like to build a time machine. I think maybe we've all wished for such a thing one time or another. Now, this young man wished to speed up time for something he was looking forward to. But I think most of us, with a few more years under our belts, would use a time machine instead to go back. To spend time with family and friends we have lost, or maybe to witness important historical events. Personally, there are so many Bible stories that I wish I could see with my own eyes. So many biblical figures I'd like to have a conversation with. If I had a time machine, one of the places I'd like to go back to visit would be this wedding in Cana. I'd love to witness this encounter between Jesus and his mother, who is never named in the book of John, but we know from Matthew and Luke is named Mary. The interaction between them is so ambiguous, and I'd love the opportunity to scan Mary's face, to search Jesus' eyes. I want to see it for myself, so maybe I could understand a little bit more about what each were thinking. Jesus, the disciples, and Mary are attending a wedding when Mary reports that the wine has run out. Now, wedding celebrations in this day may have lasted up to a full week, and we don't know how many more days this wine was supposed to last. We don't know how it came to be that it ran out. Did the hosts plan poorly? Did the guests overindulge, and so a reasonable amount of wine didn't last as long as it should have? We only know that there isn't any more wine, and Mary sees this as a problem that Jesus should solve. And Jesus responds to her in a way that sounds harsh to our ears. Woman, what concern is that to me and to you? Now just take a moment to consider how this response might have played had you said this to your mother. I think most of us can't imagine speaking to our moms this way. But in that cultural context, his language is probably better interpreted as detached rather than disrespectful. But still, Jesus is not eager to intervene. This problem isn't part of the scope of Jesus' mission. My hour has not yet come. To act now would be to prematurely reveal at least parts of his identity. Still, his mother tells the servants, do whatever he tells you. And Jesus instructs them to fill with water the jars that had already been used for the rites of purification. Now, these six jars held somewhere between 120 and 180 gallons. Even coming out of a modern faucet, that would have been a lot of water to move and manage. I wonder how they filled the jars and how long that task took. Well, when the jars were filled, Jesus told them to draw some, presumably water, out of the jar and take it to the person in charge of the banquet. But the water had become wine, revealing that Jesus had done the thing he hadn't wanted to do. When the servants take it to the one in charge, he is so impressed that he heaps compliments on the groom, who's clueless that all of this is happening, for doing what was unheard of, saving the better wine for after his guests were already well on their way to inebriated. Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk, but you have kept the good wine until now. I want to spend a little more time thinking about this impasse between Mary and Jesus in the story. Now, Mary had the Ten Commandments on her side. Honor thy father and mother. As a good Jewish son, Jesus would have attended to the things his mother needed or asked of him. But Jesus had his own game plan, and that came from an even higher authority than his parents and the law. And that plan didn't include revealing his glory prematurely just because someone failed to secure enough groceries. Still, I think Mary is pretty confident she's going to get her way. I like to imagine that when she instructs the servants to do whatever Jesus said, says she confidently exits the scene, returning to the party, trusting that there will soon be another round of toasts. Jesus does do as Mary wished. He spares the family the embarrassment of being inhospitable to their guests, but he does so in a completely over-the-top way, producing 6 large vats of wine. This puts me in mind of an episode of Friends. Monica and Phoebe have agreed to host a party together. However, Monica basically plans the whole thing by herself, and that rubs Phoebe the wrong way. When she asks, "What's left for me to do?" Monica frantically searches for an idea. "Cups and ice! We need cups and ice!" Phoebe accepts the underwhelming assignment and does as she is asked, and then some. She decorates the apartment with cups. She makes cup banners. She makes cup hats. She makes a cup chandelier. She brings 3 kinds of ice, cubed, crushed, and dry. She makes snow cones. Never was there a party with such thorough cups and ice. Monica gets the point. Phoebe has done what she was asked, but in a way that sends the message that she was not pleased to be left out of the party planning. This is how I like to think about Jesus and the wine. He makes a comically large batch of it, as many as 190 bottles worth. And I like to imagine the moment when Mary first spots a guest with a full goblet. I like to imagine she searches the room for Jesus, they lock eyes, and she gives a look that's like, "Thank you, you did what I asked." And he gives a little smirk. "Yes, Mom, I did what you wanted. They will not run out of wine again." And I like to imagine Mary returning to the kitchen and seeing jar after jar after jar, surprised at this ridiculous amount of wine. Surely this is not what she meant. Like Phoebe, Jesus has done what was asked, but in a way that sends a message. So what exactly is that message? I think this story tells us something important about Jesus' humanity. We read the first chapter of John last week, where John lays out how the divine Word of God put on flesh to live among us. And we marvel at the divine part of this claim, that the Word who lives among us was there at creation, that everything came into being through him. We understandably get caught up in how amazing it is that Jesus is divine and eternal. But in that marveling, we mustn't miss the other side of that coin. Jesus is fully human too. God enters the world with a purpose, but it is not above the fray of human life and human need. In fact, God comes to serve human need. And so no, maybe it wasn't part of the plan that Jesus' first sign or miracle would be to make more wine. But he lived in community and in relationship. And that's what his mother asked of him. So he took a little detour from the game plan. And in doing so, Jesus demonstrated his deep care for the people around him, for small things. Now, his later signs or miracles in John will include bringing Lazarus back from the dead, making a paralytic walk again, restoring sight to a man born blind, and feeding 5,000 hungry people. We would all agree these are higher stake problems that he solves. A party that has run out of wine seems pretty insignificant in light of paralysis, hunger, blindness, and death. But even so, Jesus tends to the needs of the party's hosts. And as a result, all gathered there receive the blessing that the party can go on. Have you ever looked at the problems in your life and felt ridiculous for feeling hurt or frustrated or sad? When California is on fire, Palestine is a war zone and a humanitarian crisis. Cancer wards are full of truly sick patients, and there are people living on our own streets. How can I justify being bent out of shape that my car won't start, or my vacation got canceled, or that my power went out during a winter storm? Have you ever had those thoughts? Like your misfortune isn't bad enough to count as a real problem? Have you ever scolded yourself for feeling certain ways? It's certainly good to keep perspective on life's problems. We all benefit from cataloging our blessings and reminding ourselves of them when we're feeling hurt, frustrated, or sad. Gratitude grounds us and helps us to remember to give thanks to God for all the good we do have in our life. However, I think this story of Jesus in Cana invites us to be slower to scold ourselves because our problems aren't as bad as others. Maybe Jesus turning water into wine is permission to not be quite so hard on ourselves. This may be one of Jesus's most inconsequential miracles. Perhaps cursing a fig tree is a close contender. It might be the most inconsequential, but still, he does it. It may not have had lasting consequences or changed the course of human history, but still, he acts. He doesn't tell Mary, "There is real suffering in the world. These people can deal." Instead, he does as she asks and pokes a bit of fun at it as he does. Maybe the laughable quantity of wine is meant to reflect this tension that we feel too. Maybe it's Jesus' way of making just a little light of the problem at hand. Maybe Jesus is saying, "Mom, a lack of wine is not the end of the world. But also, I care about you and what you care about. So here, have far more wine than you need." Unfortunately, we don't have a time machine to return and see this miracle for ourselves. But we do have the story. And it serves as a reminder that the miracle of the incarnation isn't only that Jesus is God, but also that in Jesus, God is human. Jesus experienced the full range of human feeling and need. He had a mother whose desires he cared about, just as any son would. He had a community whose needs he cared about, just as any of us would. And like us, he weighed inconveniences like running out of wine against the real problems in this world. But even so, he acted to correct the inconvenience and keep the party going. The mind-blowing good news of the incarnation is that none of us has to shrink our problems and say, "This isn't important enough to bring to God. There are bigger problems out there." Yes, there are bigger problems out there. Rarely will anyone possess the title of the person with the biggest problem in the whole wide world. But our problems still matter to God. If Jesus cares about wine at a party, if Jesus is willing to adjust his timeline of revealing his glory in the world, then Jesus cares about the intimate details of your life too, no matter how big or small. And that's some more good news that we can celebrate. Thanks be to God. Amen.